It's not a celebrity nor a world leader. It's just a four-letter acronym. Yet it has earned press coverage from the BBC World Service, Bloomberg, Radio France, Reuters, The Guardian, The Wall Street Journal, and thousands more. So what is the big deal about new GTLDs? That's what we explore on this episode of I Can Start.
Welcome to I Can Start. This is the show about one issue, five questions. What is it? Why does it matter? Who does it affect? What are the key concepts I must know about it? How can I learn more?
Produced by the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers.
ICANN.
One world.
One Internet.
Everybody connected.
All around the world.
Welcome, I'm Scott Pinzon. We recorded this edition of START at ICANN's headquarters in Marina Del Rey, California. If you've heard of new GTLDs, but you're not quite clear on what they are, why they matter, and what you should do about them, you've got the right podcast. Let's cut right to our interview. Joining us now is our manager of new GTLD communications, Michelle Jordan. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for taking time to talk with us. Let's start at the start. We keep throwing around acronyms in ICANN. So what is a new GTLD?
Well, a new GTLD stands for Generic Top-Level Domain. You're most likely already familiar with top-level domains, and in fact, if you use the internet, you probably use them every day already. Top-level domain are internet extensions or strings such as .com, .net, .org. They're at the end of a domain name address, and there are currently roughly two dozen GTLDs in the domain name system right now, but with the new GTLD program, there could soon be hundreds of them.
What makes them generic? It's the G, I think, that throws some people off.
So right now there are ccTLDs and there are GTLDs. ccTLDs are country code top-level domains. Country code top-level domains are, an example would be Brazil is .br. They're always two characters and they represent the country.
Okay, so .uk, .jp,
exactly.
.cn, all those.
Yes.
But we're not talking about those then. That's what the G is for, is to say not country code.
Yes. Generic, which means in this program, anybody can apply for pretty much any word that they want to.
On June 20th, 2011, at a meeting in Singapore, the ICANN board approved a process by which any organization can apply for a new GTLD. And the world kind of went nuts. I mean, within a week or so, there were thousands of articles all over the media, including primetime news and the front page of the BBC's website and all this stuff. So why do GTLDs seem to matter so much?
We think new GTLDs really represent the next wave of innovation on the internet. One of ICANN's founding principles is to promote competition and choice in the domain name industry. We think new GTLDs will help support that. It will help create competition at the registry level because when you apply for a GTLD, you're in fact applying to become a registry business.
That sounds important. So this is not the same as I go get scottpinzon.com. I guess that would be a second level name?
Exactly. It's really important to note that applying for a new GTLD is not the same as registering a second level domain name. You know, right now anyone can go to a registrar and register, you know, michellejordan.com. This program is about, if I was to apply for .michelle, I would be running the registry that then coordinates and manages all of the potential second level domains in that top-level domain.
I see. So the same way that VeriSign runs .com, that's what a registry is. You're becoming the entity that runs that top-level extension.
Exactly.
That sounds like it might be too expensive for an individual.
It is too expensive for an individual. This is really for entities and organizations. You cannot be a sole proprietorship, but any other established entity can apply.
Okay. I want to get a little bit more to why do they matter so much, because when I've tried to talk to people about this, a common reaction is, oh, everybody just uses search engines now. So who cares what those last few characters are in a web domain name?
Even search engines right now do take into account the top-level domain. If you put in Texas into Google, the first instance that the search will return is texas.gov. The wikipedia.com instance for the search result of Texas is like second or third. I think they matter also because for consumers, when you're looking for something on the internet right now, there are sites that look like legitimate sites that may not be legitimate sites. So if you're looking for shoes and you go to shoes.com, you can be pretty sure that those are going to be actual branded shoes.
For some entity that applies to have their own GTLD and they get approved, I can see why that makes life interesting for them. They're in a new business now. But what about the rest of us? Who do new GTLDs affect?
Well, new GTLDs will affect, you know, like you said, the registries by increasing competition among registry businesses. I think new GTLDs will also affect businesses, the entities that could potentially take advantage of this new branding and marketing tool. And ultimately, you know, consumers will be affected by how they either search for information on the internet or find information on the internet.
All right. So you mentioned that companies could apply for their own brand, for example, as a top-level domain. But I imagine there are other types of TLDs possible. What would those be?
There are. The different types of TLDs that people can apply for are community-based TLDs. There are geographic names. There are internationalized domain names, which we call IDNs. And then everything else falls under the standard category. Community-based, geographic, and IDNs all require an extra level of preparation because they have special rules and added requirements that you will need to fulfill for those. Community-based TLD is a GTLD operated for the benefit of a clearly delineated community. And you must also have a written endorsement from that community that you seek to represent if you want to apply for one of those. Community-based TLDs also require you to operate the TLD within self-specified restrictions described in the registry contract that you sign with ICANN.
So I guess an example of that might be .cat, which is a TLD that's dedicated to preserving the Catalan language. Their own document said that if you're going to register a domain and put something up under the .cat top-level domain, it has to be in Catalan.
Yeah, that's a perfect example of what a community-based TLD is. Geographic TLDs represent a city or a region, such as maybe .nyc or .las Vegas. The geographic names must give appropriate consideration to the interest of governments. So regional, sub-regional names, and capital cities require approval from the relevant governments. And in some cases, city names may require government approval as well. Geographic names are defined by the ISO and UN lists, and also country names are not eligible to be applied for.
So those are not considered generic top-level domains.
Exactly. IDNs, internationalized domain names, are TLDs that represent local language characters. So they are non-ASCII, which means non-Latin-based character sets. We had the IDN fast track process. That's where country code top-level domains were able to get their country code in their native language script. Well, with the IDNs through the new GTLD program, people will be able to apply for any word that they want in their native language script. So if someone in Dubai wanted to apply for something in Arabic, they would be able to apply for whatever word they wanted in those particular characters.
Well, there are more people on the internet not speaking English than speaking English, so that's a big deal. Arabic reads right to left, where so far most domain names are read left to right.
Which makes this all the more cool, because now when someone types in an internet address, they have to type in the majority of it in their native character set, and they have to switch to English. Well, with this program, now they'll be able to type in the address completely in their native language script. So those are the basic types of top-level domains that people can apply for through the program.
Okay, so we've referred to this concept of applying. What's involved in that? Say that I work for some organization and we thought this through and we think it would be really wonderful to have our own top-level domain. We know exactly the one we want. Now what do we do? Is it real simple?
No. It's not real simple. First of all, you need to be sure that you're very familiar with the applicant guidebook. The applicant guidebook is basically your roadmap for everything you need to know and to apply for a new GTLD. The application fee is $185,000, so it is a significant commitment and investment. $5,000 of that is due upon registering in the TLD application system. We also call that TAS. The application window is open from January 12th, 2012, and it's open for 90 days. So the application window closes on April the 12th, but it is really important that you must register in TAS by March 29th. And that is to ensure that we get the remaining $180,000 valuation fee by the 12th. If the evaluation fee comes after the 12th, then the application may not be eligible for review.
So why so much? Is this a big cash grab by ICANN?
No. The fee was actually constructed based on three different elements. One is cost recovery. The other is potential litigation. And then also we have a number of external evaluation panels that will be evaluating each application, and that part of that fee goes to paying them.
So ICANN's not just taking in all these applications and looking at it and go, I like this one, I don't like this one. Oh, this is cute.
No.
So tell me more about this process. So I'm assuming TAS, I'll find that somewhere at ICANN.org.
Yes. The TLD application system will be available on our website once the application window opens.
Okay.
So you fill out the application through TAS. You will have to fill out 50 questions. Basically, and these are all covered in Module 2 of the Applicant Guidebook. The questions cover the applying organization, its background, the mission and the purpose of the TLD, its proposed technical and operational setup, and its financial capabilities. At the close of the application window, there will be an administrative check in order to make sure that all mandatory questions are answered and all required supporting documents are there. At the end of the administrative check, which will be about May 1st, is when all of the public portions of the applications and the applied for TLDs will be posted on our website.
I could look on the website and I could see every company or organization that's applied for a TLD and what character string they've applied for?
Yes. Anyone interested in learning who has applied for what, even if you haven't applied yourself, you'll be able to go to our website and see the status of each application as it works its way through the evaluation process.
So I filled out an application. I guess what happens to it?
It goes to the evaluation panels. There are six different evaluation panels that are going to look at the application. Before that, the application has to go through a background check as well. If for some reason an application does not pass any one of the evaluation panels, the applicant can elect to go into extended evaluation. And that is the evaluation panels taking a closer look at the applications.
So this is if they looked at it and for some reason thought something was wrong or incomplete or whatever,
exactly.
They might kick it out. So this applicant then has an opportunity to say, wait, you don't understand. There's more to this or something.
Exactly. It's an opportunity for clarification.
Okay. What happens if two companies get the same bright idea and they both apply for dot doorknobs or something? What happens then?
Well, which will likely happen. If that happens, then the applicants or the applications go into string contention. String contention, like you said, is when two or more applicants apply for the same or confusingly similar string. If that's the case, then if one of the applied for strings is a community-based applicant, meaning they have applied saying that they have support from a community to serve that particular community, then they can elect community priority.
What's the community priority evaluation? That's a mouthful.
It is. By electing community priority in the string contention set, that gives that application priority. And if that community application passes the community test, then they will win in that string contention set. If none of the applications in that contention set are community, then we really encourage the applicants to work out an arrangement amongst themselves. If no agreement can be made, then as a last result, it will go to auction.
There's a lot to this. I've always wondered why the evaluation process was going to take months. But when you begin to realize, well, they have to do criminal background checks and so on, I see where it takes a lot of effort.
It's an involved process.
So about how long does this whole process take from when you turn in your application to the hopeful result that it gets delegated into the root zone and becomes a TLD on the internet?
I think best case scenario from the time you apply to the time that you could potentially be in the root is 9 months. Even though the application period opens mid-January, we won't start seeing any of the new TLDs come online until early 2013.
Once you have your TLD, what can you do with it?
Pretty much it's up to you. That's one of the cool things about this, is that we're going to start to see a lot of new innovative business models. Having your own TLD means you can make the rules. You set the policies on how you want to use it, who you want to let use it. You can register second level domains. You can keep it for yourself and use it amongst your employees. You can make it as secure as you want. You can sell it for as much or as little as you want. So it's exciting.
Who knows what people will come up with?
That's right.
And especially when you involve all these other languages.
Yes.
I have an idea on how I think I can make a lot of money. I'm going to apply for the TLD and then just hold out until a certain firm bought it from me. What are my chances?
If you have an under $185,000 that you would like to put up and attempt that scheme, go for it. But odds are that once you applied for it and the strings were posted, then that company would probably notice and then object.
Okay, I don't like my chances now.
Yeah. In the new GTLD program, there are lots of enhanced trademark protections.
What other kinds of protections would be in place? Perhaps I have a trademark and it's a big deal in Brazil, but outside the country, other people may not be aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
How do these other kinds of trademarks get defended?
So there are other rights protection mechanisms built into the program. There is the Uniform Rapid Suspension System. It provides rapid relief for trademark holders in clear-cut cases of abuse. It really offers cheaper and faster responses than the existing Uniform Domain Name Dispute Resolution Policy. Then there is the Post-Delegation Dispute Resolution Procedure. So there are several mechanisms in place, all of which are outlined in great detail in Module 5 of the Applicant Guidebook.
Thank God, because they don't lend themselves to an audio presentation very well at all. Okay. Module 5 of the Applicant Guidebook for details.
Yes.
Well, we're coming to the end of our time together. You've described some pretty complex processes, and this is really the tip of the iceberg. If you had to boil this down to just some key principles that a listener should take away, what would you suggest?
Well, I would suggest that you become familiar with the Applicant Guidebook. It's posted on our website, which is newgtlds.icann.org. There is a wealth of information. The Applicant Guidebook is always one click away, no matter where you go on the site. There are fact sheets available. There's a whole set of FAQs. There's several different educational videos that you can watch to get a good overview of what new GTLDs are. There's also a series of Ask the Experts videos where we've talked with current registry heads about what it's like running a registry business. If you can't find what you need in any of those resources, you can always send us an email to newgtlds@icann.org. Also, a few key dates for you to remember. January 12th, the application window opens. March 29th is the last day to register in the TLD application system. April 12th, the application window closes. And on May 1st, all the applied for strings will be posted to our site.
Okay, that gives a roadmap to anyone who thinks he may want to pursue this. Thank you so much for your time today, Michelle.
Thanks.
We recorded this episode of ICANN Start in 2011 under a Creative Commons license, some rights reserved. ICANN START is an educational service from the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, ICANN. One world, one Internet.